Support for IPR comes from Corridor Vein Center and Corridor Aesthetics, treatment for varicose veins and spider veins, also providing facial rejuvenation services and treatment for moderate to severe acne. More at Corridor Vein and CorridorAesthetics.com.
It's River to River from IPR News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Well, depending on your politics, the state of Iowa is either a tax-cutting champion, a paragon of fiscal responsibility, or critics might say, an example of economic recklessness. Today on our program, we'll discuss efforts by Iowa Republicans to create a flat individual income tax, and eventually their aim is to eliminate state income tax altogether. Later in the program, I'll be joined by IPR's state government reporter Katarina Sestarek. We'll discuss with lawmakers different views on how Iowa is managing its revenues and spending against this backdrop of efforts towards further tax cuts. But first, let's go to our neighbor to the east for a perspective from a state that already has a flat individual income tax rate. Jerry Nowicki is editor-in-chief for Capital News Illinois. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for joining us. Give us a little bit of a history. This was unknown to me, having lived next to Illinois for quite a long time, that Illinois has a flat tax rate. Tell us the history. When did that start?
Yes, yeah, so the income tax launched in 1969. It was actually Republican Governor Richard Ogilvie who sort of spearheaded that effort and was rewarded for it by getting only one term as governor. So it was a 2.75% tax rate, I believe, when it first came to be. Right now we're at 4.95. But he did that in 1969, and then Illinois had a constitutional convention in 1970, and the delegates actually wrote into the Constitution that basically mandated that the income tax can only be a flat tax, and the corporate income tax could only be an 8-to-5 ratio over whatever the personal income tax is. So basically, Illinois has only ever known a flat tax, and unless they change the Constitution, like Governor Pritzker tried to do in 2019-2020, then it's always going to be that way.
Yeah.
And that effort, of course, failed when Pritzker tried to do that.
Right. And that explains here, we'll talk later in our program, Iowa's in the position, Iowa Republicans, wanting to change our state's constitution to mandate that and make it very hard to change back from a flat tax. Tell us a little bit more about, you know, why this was championed, you know, the great debate over flat versus a progressive or a graduated tax. It just seems strange looking from the outside to Illinois, what we know as a very blue state, that it would have a regressive or a non-graduated tax rate for income.
Yeah, so I think what it comes down to, I did a little bit of research here. I wasn't around in 1969 when Ogilvie championed a tax, but I think he wanted it to be a graduated tax, but ultimately the legislature decided on the flat tax, and then the constitutional delegates, you know, cemented that. As opposed to, or if you're looking at, you know, the argument as to whether it should be graduated or flat, Pritzker and the General Assembly brought that to voters in the 2020 election and said, you know, we need to be able to tax higher income earners at a higher rate to be able to pay our pensions, pay education, eliminate a structural budget deficit that's been plaguing the state for years. And you know, he asked the voters for the approval to implement taxes at a graduated rate, but there was enough opposition and enough distrust in Illinois government that people saw that as giving the state lawmakers more taxing authority, and they really didn't want to do that.
Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit more about how this tax is implemented. You said it started off way back in 69 as 2.75. It's moved up from then?
The growth of the 2.75% to the 4.95% right now, it essentially went from about 2.75 to 3 for several years. And then in 2011, during Democratic governor, I don't know if it would have been Quinn or Blagojevich. I think it was Quinn. They approved a four-year temporary tax hike to 5%. And that was to, you know, balance budget holes. Pension payments have, I don't know how much your audience will know about Illinois, but Illinois' pension debt is among the highest in the nation, if not the highest in the nation.
Yes, we've heard.
And so it was basically, you know, we need that as pension payments grow just to be able to keep state government services where they're at this point. But that expired in 2015. Governor Bruce Rauner got elected and they did not increase it. And that sort of was one of the major components of what came to be known as the two-year budget impasse, where Illinois went 2 years without a budget and was spending way more than it was taking in because the income tax had decreased from 5% to 3.75%. And then about 2 years into Rauner's term, the Democrats and Republicans in the General Assembly came together to override his veto of a budget that permanently increased the flat tax to 4.95%. So that's how it got to where it is today.
Jerry Nowicki is with us, editor-in-chief for Capital News Illinois, as we get a sense of what it's like to be in a state with a flat state income tax. So let's talk about the funding here, the state programs, the priorities competing for the state dollars brought in through Illinois' flat income tax. Does that create what kind of dynamic does that create there? A squeeze for those programs in terms of funding?
Well, so the thing is, the income tax is such a big part of revenue that, you know, essentially what it comes down to is you have to raise the tax on the lowest income earners if you want to raise it on the highest income earners. Now, and where you have the graduated tax, you can say, well, we need more revenue. We want to raise some revenue, but, you know, we don't want to tax the people who are living the paycheck to paycheck. So we'll just put it on the highest bracket, right? Well, Illinois can't do that. So that's why they had to, you know, when they raised it to 4.95%, that affected every single taxpayer, not just the wealthiest margins. But in terms of revenues, it's about roughly half of the state's general revenue fund, about $26 billion of the $52 billion in revenue for the current fiscal year is from the personal income tax. So it is a major funding source for Illinois state government.
Has Illinois had to rely on other forms of taxation to raise needed money for programs?
Yeah, I mean, especially for like capital spending and whatnot. I mean, there's cigarette taxes, liquor taxes, inheritance taxes, but it's all relatively small. And then, of course, there's the sales tax, which generates about $10.4 billion, and corporate income tax, which is about $5 billion. So between sales and corporate and personal income taxes, that's about 80% of the state's general revenues.
Mm-hmm. Do the lawmakers feel they have enough funding for all their priorities, or this flat tax rate forced some cuts in priorities?
Well, I think the fact that they didn't get the graduated income tax that Governor Pritzker had wanted certainly tied their hands for spending at some point. I mean, but if you ask the Republicans in the General Assembly, you know, Illinois spends too much. It's putting money in the wrong places. They don't always have, you know, the best answers to where they'd like to cut spending. But they just say Illinois is a high spending state in general. But, you know, Democrats would always like to add funding to certain areas. I mean, there's calls for earned income tax credits better earned income tax credits and child tax credits and new programs every single year. But the funding reality generally precludes that. But again, the pension payments that we have to pay each year is just as big a contributor to that as the fact that we have flat tax.
Do you happen to know how Illinois compares with other states in terms of the tax burden on lower earners?
Well, and that's the one that's kind of hard to quantify, because if you take the overall just tax burden and state and local taxes, I think there are some studies out there that Illinois may be have a high tax burden when everything is considered, including property taxes, because that's one of the things local governments have had to sort of rely on property taxes due to for education and stuff, because the state hasn't funded that well over the years. So if you combine all that, the tax burden is higher, but the 4.95% isn't drastically high in comparison to other states.
Yeah. You've mentioned how Governor Pritzker failed to get away from a flat tax to a graduated state income tax. Do you think that's dead for good?
Well, because it's up to the voters and it basically needs like 60%, and it didn't really get close to that, I think the governor has indicated he's not going to try that again. I don't think there's any appetite in the General Assembly right now. The only way I could see, you know, something like that happening is if in the future there's any other type of budget catastrophe or recession or something where things are really going south for state finances and they've got to figure out some way to raise taxes or raise revenue. But I don't think there's a political appetite for it on either side right now.
Jerry Nowicki, Editor-in-Chief for Capital News Illinois, thank you for giving us an overview of your flat income tax and revenue and spending in your state. Jerry, take care.
Yep, thank you.
When we come back after a short break, we'll discuss tax policy changes here in Iowa, and we welcome your input, your questions. 1-866-780-9100. Email us rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. Back in just a moment.
Support for IPR comes from Corridor Vein Center and Corridor Aesthetics, treatment for varicose veins and spider veins, also providing facial rejuvenation services and treatment for moderate to severe acne. More at Corridor Vein and CorridorAesthetics.com.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more of River to River from IPR News. I'm Ben Kiefer. This hour, we're discussing tax policy. If you were with us before the break, we heard about Illinois' flat state income tax put into place by a state constitutional amendment over 50 years ago, way back in 1969. And that sets the scene for the rest of our discussion and our discussion about current efforts by Iowa Republicans to create a flat individual income tax rate by amending the Iowa Constitution and also possibly eliminating Iowa's state income tax altogether. You can join our discussion about how the state is managing its revenues and spending. 1-866-780-9100. Or email us, rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. For the rest of the program, my co-host, Katerina Sestarek, IPR state government reporter, joins us. Hi, Katerina.
Hi, Ben.
Before we invite our other guests this hour, please catch us up to speed on changes Iowa Republicans have made in past years, and then we'll talk a little bit about what's happened so far this session. So prior to this session, what tax policy changes did Republican lawmakers make in our state?
Republican lawmakers started down the road of cutting income taxes in 2018, but this big law that was signed by the governor in 2022 would have a flat income tax rate of 3.9% in 2026. So that has already started phasing in. A couple years ago, the top tax rate was about 8.5% in Iowa, and right now it's currently 5.7%. And that law that she signed also exempted retirement income from state income taxes and lowered the corporate income tax rate as well. And so that's kind of where we're at with income taxes right now.
Okay, let's go to the start of this session. What did Governor Reynolds said at the start of this 2024 session? What did she say back in January about the goals? The same goals, different goals?
Well, she proposed speeding up the tax cuts that she already signed into law and even deepening them further. So her proposal would set the income tax at a flat rate of 3.65% this year. So it would be retroactive to the beginning of 2024. And then it would also next year set a flat tax rate of 3.5%. So, you know, compare that to the 3.9% that current law would put in effect in 2026. And then at the same time, we have the chairs of the House and Senate tax writing committees who proposed a bill this year that would speed up income tax cuts, but then also set into motion a mechanism where gradually over time, the income tax would be completely eliminated.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And there's just this proposed constitutional amendment that was just last week's news. What, the Iowa Senate passed that? Would require to, and that's a process to change our amendment, our constitution through this process as well, isn't it?
Right. So there's now two separate constitutional amendments that have been moving through the legislature that would eventually be put before Iowa voters to decide. But one would require a two-thirds majority of the legislature to increase the personal or corporate income tax in the future. Right now, it's just a simple majority that would be required for that. And then also a separate constitutional amendment would say that any personal income tax would have to be a flat rate.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And later in the hour, we'll talk with the Democratic Representative Dave Jacoby of Iowa City and Coralville to get the position of Democrats here. But in a broad terms, what is the position of minority Democrats there in the minority in both of our chambers of the Iowa legislature?
Democrats have generally been against these proposals, saying that, you know, a flat tax rate largely benefits wealthier Iowans, that the tax cuts that have passed have also largely benefited corporations, and that the lowest income Iowans don't benefit from these proposals.
Okay. If you'd like to join our conversation, we talk about tax policy, the present and future visions of Iowa tax policy as proposed by the Republicans, 1-866-780-9100. Email us rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. Katerina and I are now joined by two additional guests. Mike Owen is Deputy Director of Common Good Iowa in the Iowa City studio. Mike, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Ben.
Chris Hagenow is with us as well. He's President of Iowans for Tax Relief. He's also a former state representative, former majority leader for the Iowa House of Representatives, a Republican. Chris Hagenow, welcome to you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me, Ben.
We want to make sure we have sort of fundamentally your positions. You're at 180 degrees from each other, I think it's fair to say here. Mike Owen, Common Good Iowa, give us in a nutshell what Common Good Iowa stands for and your position on what's happening currently in the legislature, and I'll do the same with Chris Hagenow.
Well, Common Good Iowa is a nonprofit organization. We do research and advocacy, and our principal focus is equitable and sustainable tax policy and budget policy to help all Iowans thrive.
Mm-hmm. And what is your view, the view of Common Good Iowa, on the changes proposed that Katerina just outlined by Republicans?
There is literally nothing good in any of the tax proposals that are being presented, either on the changes in tax policy for the state or on the constitutional amendment questions.
Nothing good, meaning?
There are nothing that provides for a more sustainable and equitable system for our state. We cannot talk about taxes in a vacuum. We have to talk about taxes in the context of the public services that they support. And if we're not talking about both of those things at the same time, it's not an honest conversation. We haven't gotten that honest conversation from our state legislature or our governor. They have allowed this thing to, you know, this tax cuts solve everything. They don't solve. They don't solve really much of anything.
Chris Hagenow, president of Iowans for Tax Relief, to you, for those who don't know what Iowans for Tax Relief is, what is that organization?
Well, simply put, we stand for Tax Relief for Iowans. We believe that Iowans are a better judge of how to spend their dollars than government. We believe that Iowans right now are being overtaxed as the state of Iowa is running a billion-dollar budget surplus. We have huge amounts in our taxpayer relief fund, and it is the duty of the legislature to right-size that budget to get those dollars into the pockets of Iowans, especially when they're dealing with the impacts of inflation and everything else that's going on in our economy. We think that the proof is that we continue to meet the priority needs of Iowans. The budget continues to grow at a reasonable rate, and it's time for Iowans to get more of their money back.
And Chris, you are in favor of the current plans by Republicans and the governor?
We are. We think there's several different ideas on the table, and all of those would represent a step in the right direction for Iowa taxpayers.
Do you have a preference on, you know, there's the elimination plan, there's the just quickly, you know, returning a bunch of, as you said, the budget surplus right to Iowans. What do you prefer?
Well, we support, there's three things at play here in discussing any of these tax plans. There's accelerating the current, as you mentioned, the 2022 tax bill, getting to the ultimate 3.9% flat tax. I've seen different numbers that we support that. Further reductions, I guess, in that that rate as well. So we're going to support whoever goes the lowest on that. And the eventual elimination. And the two chairmen of the Ways and Means Committees had I think, a very clever plan to use some triggers into the out years and how we might be able to achieve that. And so that's an interesting thing that I know is being talked about as well. So we, frankly, whatever gets us lowest, fastest, and in a sustainable fashion, we would support any of those ideas.
I know the governor has also proposed, or she said that her goal is to eliminate the state income tax as well, but she didn't propose that this year. Mm-hmm. Why do you think she didn't do that this year? Do you think there were economic considerations, anything that was seen in the revenue that wouldn't make this a good year to start that?
Well, I don't want to speak for her specifically because I don't think she said anything publicly necessary, but I do know that both the governor, the Department of Management, her staff, the legislators, I do think they honestly look at out-year projections. And I know I was at the table when we did that 2018 bill, and you're constantly looking at that five-year projection and even potentially further out into the future as to what can the state afford to do. And I know that they're looking at that just based on my own conversations with them. And so I think a lot of it was driven by where are we at with the budget now and where will we be at in 5 years and what can we afford to do on tax policy?
And Mike, you probably have a different idea of what the state can afford to do on tax policy. But, you know, I'm wondering, this plan should gradually eliminate the state income tax over time. It's been called, you know, a sustainable, responsible way by the supporters of it to do that. You know, why would doing it very slowly over time not work for the state of Iowa, in your opinion?
Well, let's start out by saying that the supporters of this idea have never shown us the math. And the simple facts of the math of this are that the official estimates by the Legislative Service Agency of the current tax plan is basically a cost of about 20% of the general fund budget in the state. And if you were to fully eliminate the income tax, you're talking about half of the state budget if you don't replace any of it. Half of the state budget could be most of our education funding, which is over half the budget right now. It could be a big bite of our human services and healthcare funding, which is about 25% of the budget. You simply can't disconnect those things. So it's not sustainable. What we have right now is arguably not sustainable, and they haven't allowed it even to fully phase in. It's not going to be phased in until 2026. What is the harm in making sure that what we've already done is going to work? But I think that the math is not there for it. It's pretty clear. And that's the basic problem with this.
Chris, what do you say to that? That, you know, over the past several years, there's been several rounds of tax cuts that have never fully phased in yet. So technically, you know, there's projections, but we don't really know, you know, what the state looks like with these tax cuts. Why not just let them fully phase in before taking more action?
Well, I think you look at what's happening today and in the future. And what we know is the case today is that the state is running a huge structural surplus. And so we know that there's capacity to reduce those taxes today. And when you look into the out years, the Legislative Services Agency does provide us projections. We see the Revenue Estimating Conference provide us projections at least a couple years out. And then you can apply some historical trends to those, that there is room to do it into the future. And I would say on the eventual elimination, at least as far as the plan that's been in front of the legislature, is a series of very modest steps that only trigger into to come into effect when you see those revenue increases into the future. And so the idea that somehow way down the road we would underfund a project, I don't see where that would come in when it's all done in very small increments over time.
And Mike, there have been large budget surpluses in the legislature the past few years. It's going into that taxpayer relief fund, which I think now is approaching $4 billion. And this is kind of the drive behind Republicans saying, you know, we want to return this money to taxpayers through tax cuts. You know, why not return some of that money through tax cuts? And what do you say to the Republicans who say, you know, the state is over collecting tax dollars from Iowans?
I would say that they have invented these surpluses by holding down very important investments in education and in human services. And that it's very easy when you have a good economy like we have right now to build up those surpluses if you're not going to invest the funds properly. This is one-time money, and it's basically stuffing it into a mattress to pay off future tax cuts that will be permanent. So you're using one-time money to buy these tax cuts that down the road are not going to be sustainable. Further, and this is a very important point of this, is the equity question needs to be addressed. These are tax cuts that are hugely benefiting the wealthy. The governor's plan is talking about $30,000+ for millionaires on average, and about $34 on average for people making under 20%. That's the Department of Revenue's own data. This is a big boon to the wealthy. It is going to cut services that all of us need to make this state a good one to live and work and prosper in. And we simply can't afford the tax cuts that are on the books now, let alone new ones. These new proposals will drastically reduce our ability to respond not just to emergency situations in the future, but to be able to hold what we have right now. It's going to be very difficult.
Chris, you know, what do you say to Mike's point that, you know, just currently, I mean, the lowest income Iowans pay kind of a bigger share of their income in taxes when you factor in other things like sales taxes and such. And this would, you know, these proposals would potentially just make that even worse with the wealthiest Iowans paying a smaller and smaller share of their money in taxes to the state. Why is that a good policy for Iowa?
Well, I would start by making sure that we understand that we're heading to a flat tax as current law. Absent anything else that happens in the legislature, we are moving towards a flat tax. And in that progression, every Iowa taxpayer will pay less. And as we continue to reduce those rates, every Iowa taxpayer pays less. And the premise of the flat tax is that it's fair. And it's, of course, it's the age-old debate about anytime you reduce taxes. Sure, the wealthy pay the lion's share of the taxes in our state and in our country, and that is inevitable with the tax bill. Now, if you're a believer in a progressive tax, well, yes, then you would want to keep it. It's simply a philosophical difference. And we believe that a flatter, fairer, broader tax base is what's best for all Iowans and certainly what's best for the economic future of our state.
We have a couple minutes before the break. I wanted to put an email question to Mike Owen before we say goodbye to Mike Owen of Common Good, Iowa. Gary in Davenport writing, the Laffer curve dictates that tax cuts create economic growth. Does this hold for Iowa now and in the future? So we have this argument that growth would make up for lost revenue, Mike Owen.
The Laffer curve is not, it's been refuted by history so many times. The Laffer curve is not in play here. We don't get prosperity by cutting. This is a time to invest. Times are good right now. This is a time we should be investing in our people, investing in our structures, creating jobs with that. Instead, they're taking us to a place where we won't be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to take a short break and be back in just a moment. Thank you very much, Mike Owen, Deputy Director of Common Good, Iowa. Thank you for coming into our studio, sir. And Chris Hagenow will stay with us in our Des Moines studio, President of Iowans for Tax Relief. And when we come back, Katarina and I will also be joined by State Representative Dave Jacoby, a Democrat from Coralville in Iowa City, as we continue our conversation about tax policy, the present and future of it here in Iowa. You can join our conversation 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100, or email us, river2river@iowapublicradio.org. Ben Kiefer with Katarina Sestaric. More of River to River in just a moment.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
Back with more of River to River from IPR News, I'm Ben Kiefer with my co-host for this portion of the program, Katarina Sestaric, our state government reporting as we reporter as we talk about tax policy in Iowa, potential tax cuts, also a constitutional amendment process in the works to change Iowa to have an amended constitution which requires a flat state income tax. With us, we have Chris Hagenow, president of Iowans for Tax Relief. Also joining us now for this final part of the program, Representative Dave Jacoby, a Democrat from Coralville and Iowa City. Representative Jacoby, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
You've been sitting there listening, and we'll certainly have a back and forth here as well. I want to reach out to our listeners and say you can join us with your questions about tax policy, how Iowa is managing its revenue and spending, 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100, or email us, river2river@iowapublicradio.org. I want to note that we asked GOP lawmakers in Iowa to join us as well. They're currently meeting to hammer out these proposals. They responded that they're unable to join. Representative Jacoby here, you've been sitting here listening to this. What's top of mind for you, given the direction that Iowa Republicans are taking tax policy in this state?
Well, there's a huge concern that we're changing the Iowa Constitution. But to be honest with you, and I served with Chris Hagenow, and I like doing a show with him today. We'll have a good conversation. But it's almost been kind of a sham what we've seen over the last 13 years. We did a property tax bill back in 2013, and it's proven to be totally ineffective. In fact, it's done the opposite. I don't know anyone in Iowa who will tell you that their property taxes went down after 2013. And also, I think what you heard from Iowans for Tax Relief is the comment that he made, we'll support whoever goes lower. Well, that's not policy. That's just saying we're going to support whoever has the lowest taxes. There is a surplus. That surplus is just like you and me at home. If we don't pay our rent, if we don't pay our mortgage, if I don't make my car payment, if I don't pay my health insurance, then I'm going to have a little money left over, but I'm also going to be dangling a little bit, especially in Iowa where the cancer rates are soon to be number one in the nation. I think we just have a lot of important things to look at, and a flat tax is one of them. But what many people don't understand quite yet is it's not the simple majority, 51%. It's not even a supermajority of 60 plus 1. This is a supermajority of 67%, which in effect in Iowa will mean in perpetuity that the minority rules.
I know Katarina is wanting to get in here with some questions, but Chris Hagenow, I wanted you to respond to what Representative Jacoby just laid out as his concerns.
Well, Representative Jacoby's right. I always enjoy a conversation with him. We've done that many times over the years. No, look, there's differences of opinion on the direction it goes. I think Representative Jacoby rightly understands there is a surplus and probably needs to be addressed. The one thing I would point out is that we are meeting the needs of Iowans, and it comes down to an idea of how big you want government to be and how many services do you want it to provide. A couple weeks ago now, the legislature put nearly $275 million into public K-12 education. And so there's dollars that are going into these things that Iowans see as priority needs. And on the amendments, and I know that Katarina wants to get into that a little bit more, I think, but the way the constitutional amendment process works is these ultimately will go in front of Iowa voters to decide whether they want these protections in the Constitution. So they get the ultimate say. And I know we did a poll in our organization that showed the idea of the two-thirds majority to raise taxes was a 68% in favor of that among Iowans. And the Des Moines Register's recent poll had 60% of Iowans wanted to see a gradual elimination of the income tax. So we feel strongly that those are things that the people of Iowa want to see happen.
And just to remind listeners, the two constitutional amendments, one would require a two-thirds majority of the legislature to raise taxes in the future, and the other would require a flat income tax rate. And I want to ask Chris a little more about the flat income tax rate, because while it would be a flat rate under current law, and then it would continue that way if the constitutional amendment were to pass, there's still a lot of exemptions and other credits and things that mean everyone in Iowa wouldn't be paying the same tax percentage. Why not try to, do away with a lot of those things to then actually have people paying a percentage? Why wouldn't that be? Would that be more fair to you?
Well, we believe that a broader tax base with fewer credits and exemptions is better. We, as a matter of policy philosophy, we agree with that. And so I think one of the things that we have talked about conceptually is as we make this move towards an even lower flat tax rate to exactly that point, is what can we do to broaden it to achieve lower rates down the road for everyone?
And Representative Jacoby, what's your thought on the, flat tax not truly being a flat tax when there's exemptions and credits involved?
Well, actually, I think you might have answered your own question without, with all the tax credits and deductions. It is not truly a flat tax.
And so do Democrats think that, credits and exemptions should be, there should be fewer of those? Are there specific ones that you think should be increased? How are Democrats looking at that issue?
Well, actually, that's a great question. Recently, the Tax Expenditure Committee was eliminated, and that was a committee to review all tax credits and deductions. And for whatever reason, the governor and the Republicans decided we don't need to review the process. We don't need to review what taxes are in front of us. In fact, a comment was made earlier about the wealthy paying the brunt of the taxes, and that simply is not true. In fact, the wealthy can actually see a refund from state government given the tax credit situation that we're sitting in right now. I think Democrats would entertain a discussion on flat tax, it would have to be a true flat tax.
State Representative Dave Jacoby, a Democrat, back and forth with Chris Hagenow, president of Iowans for Tax Relief.
The first time that's ever happened.
that's probably why we're not in the same room together right now.
Anyway, we want to have our listeners get in on this conversation. Gentlemen, let's go to our first caller, 1-866-780-9100. You can also email us, rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. Randy is with us from Victor on my screen. Hi, Randy. Welcome to the program. What's your question, sir?
So, if I didn't make enough money over the years I was bringing money in, and I only get about $500 a month, that's below poverty level. What can I do? Starve to death?
Well, I don't think, Randy, we're sorry about that financial situation, but Representative Jacoby, Randy would not be paying any taxes, would he?
No, he would not be. There wouldn't be a tax liability for Randy.
Okay. Let's go to Cindy in Des Moines with this email question. Cindy asks, do the Republicans understand that a lot of that money we have is a one-time deal, a lot of it from things from pandemic relief money? What about that point, Chris Hagenow, that, and I think Mike Owen made this point before, this was a one-time pot of money here that will be used in the future.
Well, the pandemic relief funds set aside in separate accounts so that you can completely segregate those dollars. When we talk about tax cuts and their sustainability, we always look at ongoing revenue and what we will need in the future. Now, there is a taxpayer relief fund of one-time dollars that also sits in a separate account, and they're part of some of these proposals is to dip into them temporarily for a year or two as we grow into the rates. But it is always, these out-year projections are always based off of ongoing revenue and making it sustainable with what we need to do inside of the state government.
I want to ask a bit more about the constitutional amendment that would require a two-thirds majority to raise personal or corporate income taxes. Opponents of this argue that it would tie future legislatures' hands. And, I mean, you were in a legislature where you cut taxes, passed tax policy. I mean, how would it have been as a lawmaker if, you know, your hands had been tied by a past legislature for tax policies that you had wanted to pass?
Well, if my hands had been tied to prevent tax increases, I guess given my own governing philosophy, I would have seen that as a good thing, right? I do think it empowers the minority, typically. I mean, with the two-thirds is a pretty high threshold, is that you probably can't get any of those policies passed without some buy-in from the minority party.
But what if, you know, there was a recession, you know, economic conditions deteriorating, yeah, and, lawmakers decided, even if there was some bipartisan agreement, that taxes needed to be raised. How can the state respond then if there's such a high threshold?
Well, I would say if there is those kind of times that would drive that level of necessity, then you have the two-thirds. You can still do it inside of the Constitution. It would simply be a very high threshold to do it, and the need would have to be very, very clear.
Representative Jacoby, do you think the legislature would be able to come together and with more than a two-thirds majority to raise taxes if that's what was needed for the state's budget situation?
Probably the same odds as me growing a full head of hair. No, it would not happen. And it really concerns me to hear a statement saying empower the minority. What that really means is that a small number of Iowans will have total control over the state budget for many years to come. I think we have to look at exactly what the proposal means, and we have to listen to exactly what people say. As it just heard minutes ago, there's an interest from the organization that Chris works with to do away with tax credits. I have yet to see one single proposal that named one single tax credit that they're willing to eliminate. In fact, there has been nothing in legislation and nothing even in topical discussions.
We have a final 5 minutes or so in our conversation with Representative Dave Jacoby and Chris Hagenow of Iowans for Tax Relief. Let's go to an email question from Eric. Eric writing that most recent example of the failure of the Iowa GOP is the loss of services in our parks. He goes on, we have some of the worst infrastructure in the U.S. And then he writes simply, the idea that rich people know better how to spend their money won't fund public needs. Representative Jacoby, he's singing your tune.
Eric, I couldn't have said it better. And in fact, again, the proof is in the pudding. Look over the last 10 years at one simple matrix. Iowa continues to have flat population growth. And that means people are not moving here and people are not staying here. And one of the main reasons is the way we're treating our state parks. State parks are an important part of everyday Iowans' lives, to spend their weekends with family, to go fishing, to have picnics. And now they're concerned that I've heard over the last week, I'm afraid to go to a state park where there won't be any park rangers around.
Mm-hmm. What about that, Chris Hagenow? Do you worry about whether it's parks or other services that Iowa is becoming less appealing to those who stay here or might move here in the future because of services being cut due to the tax policy in our state?
Well, and, you know, I'll leave the budget priorities up to the current legislature. I'm thankful I don't have to engage in that anymore. But at the same time, services offered by government is one of a host of reasons why people would choose to live in a state. And we have seen that people are, in fact, moving to Iowa. And one of the reasons that businesses and individuals locate here is because of where we are going on tax policy. And they feel like they can thrive here. We are growing faster than states like Minnesota, which are going the exact opposite direction on fiscal policy, and certainly like many other blue states. So I guess I would reject the premise that Iowa cannot grow without growing government.
Well, actually, if I may jump in, that's not true about Minnesota. Minnesota is seeing growing population. They're also seeing many of our teachers leave Iowa schools and go to Minnesota. And quite frankly, that's due to a lot of the social bills being pushed and passed at the Iowa State Legislature.
And Minnesota, in comparison to Iowa, Representative Jacoby has a graduated income tax.
They do.
Okay.
Chris, I want to ask, before we wrap this up, there's different tax proposals floating around. If you had to make a prediction, what do you think will end up happening with income taxes this session?
I do think we will get a tax bill. I think it will be maybe not as ambitious as some of the things that have been talked about before session or early in session. Again, because I think legislators, I think the governor's office are looking at those budget runs about where future revenue will be. But I think we will get a tax bill that has some component of acceleration and hopefully a little bit of lowering and continuing the conversation about a mechanism to head towards elimination down the road.
Final 30 seconds to a minute for you, Representative Jacoby, today.
Well, thank you. In light of that legislation moving forward, what's not being said is that sales tax will go to 14 cents. Sales tax will have to be reinstituted on food. And if we want to be more like other states, I think opposite of that, Iowa should try to be like Iowa.
Okay. Thank you very much for joining us. Representative Dave Jacoby, a Democrat from Coralville and Iowa City, we appreciate you coming in.
Thank you.
And Chris Hagenow, president of Iowans for Tax Relief, thank you for coming into our Des Moines studio.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Wanted to mention again that we asked current GOP lawmakers to join us as well, but they're currently meeting to hammer out these proposals and were unable to join. And tomorrow on this program, neurodiversity. We'll talk about that. It's a term used to describe the way people's brains work in different ways. We'll discuss workplace accommodations for those with autism. We'll hear from an Iowa attorney with autism about challenges and from specialists in the field making the workplace work for those with autism. On behalf of my co-host for this portion of the program, I want to thank you for joining us. Katarina Sestarik, our state government reporter, will be back on a future Monday, Legislative Monday. Today's River to River, produced by Danny Gear, our executive producer, Catherine Perkins, technical support from Maddie Willis and Tony Sarabia.
We'll hold it tight. There goes a shirt right off my back.